Welcome to the Grace Church Parent Team Podcast, where we believe that when parents are healthy, everyone wins. We know that parenting is no small task, and it's normal to wonder if you're getting it right. As a parent, you are the primary discipler of your kids, and this podcast is here to come alongside you, offering parenting tips and biblical wisdom for the real life challenges that come with raising kids from elementary to high school. I'm your host, Jocelyn Olminski, and my co-host is Mark Steller. Mark, how are you?
I'm doing awesome. Great to be here.
Yeah, that's awesome. So today we have Scott Chouinard on our podcast. Scott, thanks for being here. I don't know whether or not I should call you Mr. Chouinard or Scott. I don't know what's typical.
You are definitely old enough to call me Scott now.
Okay.
But thanks for having me on. I'm not sure if I check the boxes or was just available. Either way, I appreciate you having me on. So
yeah, it's fun having you on. Scott was actually my history teacher when I was in high school, and that was 6 years ago, which is crazy to think about that now that so much time has passed. So it is good for you to be on the podcast and for our parents to get to know you more. Mark, how long have you known Scott?
I've known Scott for a while. Like our paths have crossed, but we've just become closer kind of post COVID as he's been back around. He and I have connected, and now we've got all sorts of cool connections, and it's super fun. So yeah, it's probably 3 or 4 years that we've actually been able to build a friendship beyond just crossing paths.
Yeah. I know maybe parents who are listening might not know who you are, Scott. And so I know you're a teacher at Copley High School. You help lead the FCA there on Thursday mornings in your classroom, right?
Yeah. Well, actually, we had to graduate from my classroom because our numbers got too big. So we are now in the media center. We started off this year in my classroom, and we survived, I think, the first meeting. And then it was like, oh boy, it was tight. So
yeah. Good thing. How many students are you guys averaging for FCA?
So anywhere between low 80s, to low 70s. I think our biggest, I think we got up into 90, I think it was like 96. And our smallest was like 72. So, and that's, you know, Thursday morning, 6:45 to 7:15. So, you know, high school students don't love the morning, quite as much as I do. So,
yeah, well, that's impressive that they're getting there early and there's so many of them. I know you've also been super involved at game day and attend Grace Church. And I just love for you to share a little bit about how you got connected to Grace Church and talk more about why you wanted to lead the FCA at Copley.
So being connected at Grace started with game day. Before I attended Grace, I attended a small church before Grace. And as my kids have kind of grown and then kind of post COVID, I started attending Grace. And so a little bit about my background. My dad was a pastor for over 40 years. So I grew up around the church and have always kind of looked at teaching and education as a ministry and a little bit of a calling. And so there's been different things I've been involved in, mostly around sports, as far as coaching and being involved that way. And then Mark Steller, like Mark Steller always does, seems to put a bug in somebody's ear and tell them what a good idea it is. And so he kind of brought the idea of FCA with some new leadership that took over at FCA in our area in Northeast Ohio and said, I think this would be something that would be great. And by the way, I think you should be the one to lead it. So there's a longer story there, but that's kind of how I started to get involved. And it has been one of the greatest blessings of my life. I mean, honestly, so. Yeah.
I love hearing really it, cool. Jocelyn. That it's all true. I did, but you can hear by the stories already that I wasn't wrong in who I was recommending being part of it. So it's going great.
Yeah. Yeah, you have a lot of experience, I know, just with coaching and teaching teenagers. I am curious about how you've seen athletics contribute to youth development.
So I would say from the time that I was probably, I don't know, 5 or 6 years old, I have loved sports and continue to love sports, and probably is one of those things I'm borderline on the point of it being an idol at times in my life. And so what I love about sports and what I think that is sometimes lost as far as youth development is the lessons that can be learned both on an individual basis and on a group level. There are so many cool things that can, you know, a kid can gain confidence, and it may be he hits a game-winning shot in front of 4,000 people, or it is as simple as he learns to do a left-handed layup, or he, you know, attends weightlifting sessions for 2 straight weeks, and that's the, you know, first time that he's been consistent in anything that he's done. So to me, athletics have been such a formative part of my life as far as just being able to learn work ethic and learn how to work with other people. And I think at a young age, you know, kids are able to learn how to play with others, number one, learn how to listen to directions and take coaching, obviously, in sports, but that pours over into so many other parts of their life. There's going to be a part of every sport that every single student, athlete, or athlete is not good at and that they have to work at. I mean, even if you're the best athlete in the world. And then also finding how to find your niche within a team, which is kind of what I think a lot of people are looking for in life. Where do I fit in? How do I operate within a group or whatever the case may be. So there's just so many cool things that can be, if done for the right reasons and the right way, you know, student athletes become and grow so much more quickly if they're able to play sports and be a part of an organization that is doing it the right way.
Yeah, when you talk about doing it the right way and having the right motives for it, I think as a coach, that's where I'm sure you've stepped in quite a bit to help teach your athletes and the students that know you of how to take those lessons from those different things that they're doing. How I'd be curious, you've worked with teens quite a bit and know how to help share these lessons with them, know what they're facing, know what they're going through, because you've watched them, you've been working with them. How do you think that what stands out to you about that, of how you've been able to work with teens and athletes or students or whatever? How do you think from your experience you could share with parents on how to support their kids just because you're with them all the time? So as someone with their kid, how could you encourage parents to support their kid?
Yeah, so you're asking from the perspective of kids go home from practice or from a game, how best to support. Okay.
Yeah.
So one thing that doesn't change, and I've coached game from game day. I'll just say it this way. I've coached from game day to third, fourth round of a high school playoff, football high school playoff. So, you know, I've never coached at the college level, but I've probably sitting on about 26 to 27 years of coaching experience. Mm-hmm. And one thing that never changes, it doesn't matter, and I think, you know, professional athletes would say this, is they want the approval of their parents and they want the support of their parents. So the first thing that I would always say is, number one, never be too high or too low with your parent or with your kids. When they get into the car, they had the best game in the world. Hey, I love you and I'm proud of you. If they have the worst game in the world, the first thing that should be said is, I love you and I'm proud of you. And, you know, I think a lot of times we as parents, and I have two boys right now, and I am navigating this myself. Because especially if you played the sport, if you're passionate about it, and a lot of times that's why our kids get into whatever sport they're in. You know, I coached high school football for 20 plus years. I thought I had two boys and they're going to love, you know, they're going to be the next, you know, Peyton Mannings of the world. But the reality is they find what sports they're interested in, and you start to love those things as well. And that's another thing I would say, like, you may be passionate about a sport, but you've got to allow them to find their way. And if you don't, then you're going to regret it, because they're going to miss out on so many cool opportunities. Like, my son is in love with soccer right now. And I'll be honest, you know, being a football coach growing up, football, the last thing I wanted was a soccer player. And that's what God gave me. And now I am all in. Let's go. If he's interested in it, I'm going to support him in any way. But I would say the biggest thing I see is, as soon as they get off the court, or even while they're on the court, allow your child to own their space. And what I mean by that is, they're the ones who are at practice. They're the ones who are at workouts. They're the ones who are with their coach. They are the ones who are putting in the effort. And you may be the one driving them to practice. You may be the one critiquing their coach at home, or watching their practice, or, you know, watching NFL football and thinking that, you know, you guys should be running four verts all the time, or whatever the case may be. The reality is, they are in it for their reasons, and you've got to be the person who supports and takes them to where they want to be. And whether that's they never get beyond game day, that's fine. If they want to play at a high level, you need to try to support that as well. But nothing goes well when you are screaming at them on the floor and they're listening to you rather than the coach. Or as soon as they get off the floor, they know you're going to get the synopsis of what they did well and what they didn't do well. And so I've been in the situation quite a few times where I've been both the coach and the parent. And I literally try to, as soon as I get in the car and I take off the whistle, or I've heard the analogy of a baseball coach say, as soon as I got into the car, I took off my hat. At that moment, I stopped being coach and I became dad. And at that moment, unless my son wanted to talk to me about baseball, there was no baseball mentioned on the ride home. And so a lot of times what I have found when I've been doing well as a parent, and I navigate this all the time because I love and am passionate about sports. But the more that you support, the more you tell them you love them, as long as you have certain conversations with them leading up to it. Hey, listen, all I care about is, are you giving great effort? Are you being a great teammate? And are you controlling what you can control? And they come off and they do those things, then that's truly what matters. And you say, hey, I'm proud of your effort. I'm proud of the way that you worked hard. I'm proud of how awesome you were as a teammate. And they're going to remember those things and they're going to feel supported. And then if they want to discuss with you, hey, I'm really struggling with my jump shot, could we get some shots in the gym? Rather than saying, hey, you were 1 for 15 from the floor, we're going right to the middle school and I got a key, so we're going to put up 150 jump shots. The kids will hold that against you. And honestly, I've seen it so many times that, you know, really talented kids who have a love for a sport lose the love for the sport because the parent ruins the experience.
Scott, do you think that's I like to sit here on the other, like on the parent side, like we talk about this a lot. Is that a newer problem, or are we just starting to realize it? I mean, I think the car ride home and and all of us wanting to coach. You've been playing sports your whole life. Do you think this kind of always been a challenge and we're getting better at thinking about it? Or is it tougher now than ever before? Because there's so much information thrown out. I think we've got more answers. Like, what do you think about that?
I think it's twofold. Number one, I think sports have become more and more important at a younger and younger level. You know, whether it's my kids, you know, an 11-year-old getting invited to play baseball in Florida in December because it's a futures whatever, or, you know, traveling for soccer across the country, or going for one, you know. So inevitably, the more we invest as parents monetarily and with our time, the more we're going to be emotionally invested, right? So my kid currently is playing club soccer, and both of them play travel baseball, and one of them, you know, plays golf. So there are, you know, money is – there are opportunities to spend money. So I think the intensity has gone up because of the amount of money, and parents feel then they have some stake or ownership over that. And what I would say to that is you have to check yourself as far as the intention of your investment. Yes, it is a financial investment, but are you investing to give them the opportunities because they have earned it and because that's something they love? Or are you investing because that's what you want to be seen as? My kid is really good, so therefore he has to do this or she has to have this opportunity. So I think that's number one. I think number two, we live in a culture where coaches are fired, you know, when they are winning. I mean, you look at the Cavs, you know, 2016, right?
Yeah.
Winning record, number one in the East, and the coach gets fired midseason. And so we live in a culture that has the right or given people the right to question everything and to believe that the coach has more impact than they actually do. And so I think that's where we have failed as parents or continue to fail all the time, is to rather than talking to our kids only about what they can control, or you know, talking about their effort and the things that they can do to make things better, we look for blame, and the easiest people to blame are coaches and other people other than ourselves. So I guess that would be the two things. I mean, I remember my dad, the only time he ever talked to a coach of mine, and I played baseball, soccer, you know, in high school, I played football and baseball. But honestly, the only time he ever talked to a coach was I slammed my helmet after getting out at home, and he walked down to the fence of a little league game and told the coach, if you don't sit him the next few innings, I will pull him off the field. So, you know, that was the kind of parents I grew up with. You know, they were very supportive, but they also were not going to complain.
They believed in the lessons. Like you're saying, they believed in the lessons of the game as much as the wins.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Scott, when you talk about when kids watch their parents, you know, say those things about their coaches or have those kinds of like quick responses, and what does that do to an athlete when they watch their parent make these comments about the coach or questions the coach's judgment? Like, you've experienced that with your own parents. What did that do?
Well, I think we talk about credibility and authority figures. You know, the credibility of authority figures. I think number one, it undermines the position and authority of the coach to start with. Anytime that you question something outwardly, I think again, it gives athletes kind of and again, I hate to say society or where we're at with sports, but this is the era of if it doesn't work for you instantaneously, then you leave that school and you go somewhere else. So, loyalty used to be something that was very important. I would say from the parents' perspective, and this is something my wife and I have tried to discuss, there are going to be things that you disagree with as far as what the coach does you know, both whether it's philosophically a call in a game, how much playing time your son and daughter is getting. I mean, and as a parent, you want what's best for your child, correct? You know, I mean, you want to see your child succeed. You don't want to see them sitting at the bench and getting 2 minutes of playing time only when that, you know, they're up or getting killed. So I understand that. And I've been there. I mean, I understand. But I think we need to be really cautious, really, really cautious of allowing our student athletes to, or our athletes, I should say, to hear us talk negatively about other people. Okay. Because even if it's, well, if your coach wasn't, would have done this. Okay. Well, let's start with what a coach's job is. And a coach's job, number one, and this is lost, I think, a lot, is to keep your child safe, to love your child, to teach your child lessons. And then it's about, are they developing them as an individual, and are they developing them as a team? And a lot of times what we hear is, well, they don't win enough, or they don't do the right things, or they don't have the right offense, or they don't have, well, okay, let's start. Are they a good human being? Are they treating my child the way, are they pushing my child? Are they teaching them these lessons? And those aren't the discussions that take place. So let's just take the example of how you could handle it if your child isn't playing. Number one, you can discuss with them, like, how are things are going in practice? Are you giving great effort? Is there a reason why, you know, you haven't seen as much playing time as maybe you've seen in the past? And maybe that coach has already had that discussion and you get it from your child. So you've got to take it with a grain of salt. And then you go through, what are the things that I can do, or what can you do to make sure that you're giving yourself the best opportunity to play outside of practice, inside of practice, those types of things. And then the second part of it is, there's a lesson to be learned. What can you control right now? You can't control your playing time. You're not playing as much as you want, but you can control how you treat your teammates. You can control how everybody sees your body language. And those are things, man, there are plenty of days you come into work and it might not be a great day at home, but if I affect everybody else and I let everybody else know with my attitude and my body language that, man, my wife really made me mad today, so I'm going to take it out on 120 students that I have. That's not fair to them. And that's the effect that you can have as a bench warmer on a team. So this is another life lesson that we're learning. And so I guess for me, there's way too much undermining of discussions. Or, and this is one thing that I really don't think parents think about, is talking negatively about their teammates. Because now in the back of their mind, they're saying, well, my dad doesn't think that this kid should be pitching. So as soon as he gets on the mound, he's expecting them to fail or not do as well, or whatever the case may be. And man, that's, you're talking about another kid who has parents that love them as much as you love your parents and want to see them succeed. So a lot of that is lost, I think. And that was, again, another long-winded conversation, but you can tell I kind of like this discussion. So
I think I've told you one of those favorite tweets I saw, Scott, I think it was good, but that one of my, was the whispers of the car become the voices of the locker room. And yep. It goes back to that car ride home again, where we think, even if we think we're just quietly talking about this or that, like, you know, kids are sponging that up. And now, you know, your opinions have now influenced. I like what you just said. Not even that Billy starts repeating that to Johnny, but now Billy's not even like believing in Bobby on the mound. Like, so now that you've lost the teamwork and the belief in it, because we've done that. And so, and look, I mean, again, being from this perspective, we all get excited. We all like how I want to do it, but I do think this like car ride home thing is just a really good topic overall for us to be thinking about how we're supporting, you know, or meeting our kids, whatever is important to them.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same perspective. If your kid's facing a team they've never beat, and the first thing you say is, well, you're going to lose today. I mean, and now that coach is trying to not only beat the team that's probably better than them and get his own 12 or 20 or 50 kids to believe it, but now those 20 or 50 kids that he's trying or she's trying to get to believe that they've got a chance, the most important people in their life are also saying, hey, by the way, you got no chance. So it's an uphill battle for them now. So just the effect that we can have. So that's all.
Yeah, and I appreciate your perspective as a parent and as a coach. And I think what you just shared and what we've been talking about, hopefully to parents listening to this, they see that coaches need to be supported by parents, and that the way that parents talk about the coaches, the way that parents view the coaches, like all of that contributes to how parents can best support them. And I think that, you know, oftentimes maybe parents just like are on the sidelines, don't realize the weight of what they're saying, or even how that is contributing and affecting their kid. And so I think that that hopefully will be very helpful language, and even just like eye-opening to for parents to realize like their job is to also support the coach, and even support the coach in the times when the coach makes the wrong call or doesn't coach the way that the parents would have wanted them to. But realizing like that is their job as a coach. And that's really helpful. So thanks for sharing all of that. I love, even as we kind of wrap up this conversation, and I would love to hear your perspective on and what you would say to game day in sports parents listening. Like, is there anything that you would encourage them with or challenge them with?
So two things, I think, and this is, again, just from my own perspective. And this is from more of a parent perspective than I would say a coach perspective. Number one, cherish what you have and where your feet are. And I think a lot of times, at least in my experience, as a young parent and somebody who loves sports, I was always thinking about, okay, what is the next thing for my child? Okay, they played game day, but, you know, maybe it's not as competitive as I wanted it to be. So maybe I need to look at getting them involved in this or that or the other thing. And there are so many opportunities and so many cool opportunities, but at the same time, you know, youth sports is insane right now, and I'm a part of it, and I have kids involved in everything. That's a whole different topic, but be where your feet are and enjoy the moments, because there will be plenty of times and opportunities. And right now I'm in a phase where I'm driving them everywhere, and people are like, oh, don't you hate driving them to Pittsburgh for one game and back? And I'm like, no, actually, this is the time I realized in 3 years my oldest son will be driving, and he won't want me to drive him to his stuff, you know. So I'm going to miss out on that hour or 2 hours in the car with him. The second thing I would say is, if we're looking at it from a perspective of the long term of the child and you and your relationship, enabling yourself to put God first in everything that we do, and not allowing sports to become the idol, is where it becomes healthy and growth is found. And I think I've done a great job of it in some parts of my life. In other parts of my life, I've allowed sports to become the most important thing. And understanding that God has given us this gift of sport, and it has formulated or helps form relationships and helps form young people. But the reality is, it is a part of our life. And most importantly, we need to make sure that we're focused on Christ first, and following his will, even when it comes to sport and when you're on competition and all those things. So again, where you are is where you're supposed to be. God puts you there. Enjoy it. Be where your feet are. Don't be looking for the next thing. Those next opportunities will come, and you should take advantage of them. But right now, man, enjoy every single second, even if your kid gets the ball, goes the wrong way, and makes a layup. Those will be the things you remember, not some AAU tournament or travel baseball tournament where it's one of 600 games that you play. And, you know, it was a cool experience, but you've played so many that you've forgotten half of them. So that's my advice.
Love it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Will you, appreciate you being on this podcast, and didn't know if, I know you're around at the church on the weekend and are involved in game day. If our parents wanted to connect with you or see you around, would love for them to meet you. Are you going to be coaching this year at game day, or?
I'm not coaching at game day. I am around a little bit, and would be happy to have a phone call, a conversation with anybody, sit down, have coffee with anybody, and kind of share my perspective. You know, my email address is scott.chenard@copley-fairlawn.org. I know that's a long one, but, and you know, if you run into Mark or Jocelyn, they have my cell phone, and I'm happy to, you know, give it out to anybody. Obviously I talk too much about the stuff that we got through about, I think, four of the questions of the 10 you asked me. But it's something I'm passionate about. I love it. And I love the perspective, and getting other people's experiences too. So happy to talk to anybody. So
I love it. I think that it's, you know, Christianity faith can be a team sport as well as sport in itself. So I think you want to have people to do that. So yeah, you guys listening got just a taste of it. I think the perspective of Scott being a coach and a teacher and a parent and now leading something like FCA just is an amazing perspective. So yeah, I thought it was awesome. I'm glad to have you. And yeah, if you want to get connected with him, find Jocelyn or I, and we'll get you connected to Scott as well. So appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Scott.
All right. I'm going to go teach some classes. We'll see you guys.
All right.
Sounds good. Thanks so much for checking out and listening to the Grace Church Parenting Podcast. We hope that this has been a helpful resource to you in the stage of parenting that you're in. Be sure to check out more episodes as we release them, and we'll see you next time.